You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the One Girl Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Kate Bryan, and we're broadcasting live from Podcast Detroit Studios here in Royal Oak, Michigan. Hey to everyone listening live, and hi to everyone who's listening on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the Podcast Detroit app. Thanks so much for listening. It's you who are giving us this opportunity to do this, show, to bring women's stories to you via this podcast. So thank you for listening. Please share this podcast with your friends. Encourage everybody to listen to it. You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/onegirlrev, R-E-V. Or find me on Twitter at Kate M. Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N. If you have a story to tell or you know a woman who has a powerful story, reach out to us. We're looking for stories of women who are changing the world through their lives, and we want to hear from you. So if you have ideas, please send them our way. In any small or big way, women have the power to change the world through their lives. So we want to encourage you to keep doing that in your own life, and we're excited to share different women's stories with you via the One Girl Revolution podcast. Today's guest, I'm so excited to have her on, and I'll kind of talk a little bit about how I found out about her. Her name's Claire Byrne, and she founded something called Imprint Hope. And I first heard about her, well, I first started kind of paying attention to Uganda through the country music star Thomas Rhett and his wife Lauren. Lauren had been really involved in mission work, and for anybody who follows them on Instagram or Twitter, you've heard a lot about Uganda through them and their mission work that they've done. And, you know, they have millions of followers, and they've used their platform to bring attention to the children of Uganda, which is really beautiful. And they even went so far as to adopt a sweet little girl, Willa Gray, that Lauren met while she was doing some mission work over there. So I kind of started paying attention to Uganda through that whole story. And I love stories like that where it's you read about one story or you hear about a story and it kind of opens up your world to things that are going on around the world. So that's kind of how I started paying attention to Uganda. And then to transition over to Claire and Imprint Hope, two of our mutual friends had told me about her and told me about Imprint Hope and all this great work that they're doing, which I'm excited to share with you. And probably about a year ago, they shared that with me. And I started following Imprint Hope on Instagram and Facebook and bought some beautiful jewelry that some of the Imprint Hope moms make. And we'll get into that later. But they're doing some really beautiful stuff. And so I'm really, really excited to have Claire Byrne on, who's the founder of Imprint Hope, to tell us a little bit more about her story and about Imprint Hope and the work that they're doing over in Uganda. Claire is a New Jersey girl living in Uganda. She founded Imprint Hope almost 2 years ago, I think. And Imprint Hope's mission is to educate families to envision a purpose for their children who are living with a disability. In Africa, children with disabilities and families who have children with disabilities are often seen as cursed. And Claire and Imprint Hope have really flipped that. They're working on flipping that to say, no, you're actually blessed, that every child is a blessing and every life has a purpose. So, Claire, I am so excited to have you on the show. So thank you so much for coming.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity, Kate. It's a gift to speak on your show.
Well, and it's great too, because I know being so far away, I'm sure it's hard to find these opportunities. I know our time difference is crazy, 8 hours. You know, we were talking about that, but thank you for staying up late and doing this show all the way from Uganda. But I'm excited to share your story and more about Imprint Hope with everybody who's listening, because I really think that it's inspiring. And I know you have so many, there are a million stories that you could share about the children and the women and people you've met through Imprint Hope. So, but I want to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and your background and where you came from, your family, your upbringing, and then we'll get into Uganda and everything else.
Yes, absolutely. As you had mentioned, I am a Jersey girl. I grew up in New Jersey for my whole life, actually. I am one of seven children. I'm the fifth in the the line of seven. Mm-hmm. So I'm often known as the forgotten one. Like, you're not the oldest, you're not the youngest. So you're just jam-packed in the middle. So not many people know where you're at when you're in the middle. But
yeah,
it was such a blessing being part of a big family, and music, sports, and my Catholic faith was a huge part of my life growing up in my family. And then a pivotal component of my family life was my youngest sister, Catherine, who has special needs. Mm-hmm. She has a pervasive developmental disorder coupled with like movement challenges and a sensory processing disorder. And her life has revealed to me so much about what is life's purpose. And growing up, I used to devote a lot of my time to going with her to her therapy sessions. She was in multiple therapies every week and going to doctor's appointment all across New York City every Monday. I used to go with my mom and take Kate to these appointments. And through these experiences, it really founded my love for empowering families and working with families and their child with a disability. And that's what's inspired me to pursue my master's in occupational therapy in college, and what spearheaded my work with children with special needs.
That's awesome. So how did you end up in Uganda the first time?
Just a crazy like dream on my heart was this idea. I wondered, because knowing growing up in America and seeing the services provided to my sister and to multiple other children with disabilities, with like early intervention, government assistance, special education, and access to therapy, really inspired me to think about, like, I wonder how children with special needs are treated in third world countries. And this probing question inspired me to apply to over 20 organizations upon graduating with my master's and wanting to do medical missions overseas. I was very persistent and I got a lot of rejections, but I knew that I needed to do this. I wanted to discover how children were treated in other countries and if I could do something and use my skill set. So I applied to this organization called Catholic Medical Mission Board. It's based in New York City. It's a nonprofit organization that's been around for over 100 years, and they send medical professionals all over the world. So they sent me to Uganda to work at an orphanage in Kampala, which is the capital of Uganda, with over 300 children with special needs. So it was a very scary moment. And when the organization told me, we're going to send you to Uganda, I honestly had no idea where Uganda was in the world.
Yeah.
So I just took out my phone and Googled where in the world is Uganda, because I honestly had no idea. Wow. So it was a very scary journey beginning to think about going. And then once I was there, my whole world really just changed in so many drastic ways. So
yeah,
that's how I got there initially.
What was the preparation like to go? Did you just sign? You signed up and you applied, but did you have to do different preparation to go that first time?
There was multiple interviews in New York City, and then phone interviews with the people in Uganda. And then, of course, just vaccines and like FBI checks and all those preparation things, of course, that they do. But then just really preparing my heart for what was to come. I think that was the biggest challenge for me, was as all my friends were pursuing marriage and their career and having children, like I was just dropping everything I had ever known and getting on a plane and not even knowing who was picking me up at the airport. It was a very scary journey. But at the same time, I saw how fear can be a stumbling block to overcoming something. And I saw how I had this fear in my heart, but I wasn't going to let it stop me from pursuing this dream that I had, that was embedded within my own heart. So it was wrestling in my heart, many things, but I knew I had to step on that plane to get there.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. I was actually talking to somebody on my way to the show today just about fear and how oftentimes, because somebody, you know, people are always like, oh yeah, I'm sure you had a lot of people that said to you, oh my gosh, you're so courageous. I can't believe you did that. Mm-hmm. But it's, you actually just powered through. There definitely is courage that comes through, but it's like powering through the fear. And I think a lot of times people allow fear to control their lives so much so that they miss out on opportunities. And even though it's scary, I feel like things always have a way of working them out, you know? If you're just, you know, you jump at those opportunities, I feel like things always work out. So so how long were you in Uganda that first time, or did that transition you into Imprint Hope?
It did. It inspired me while I was there. My first initial volunteer commitment was for 1 year through Catholic Medical Mission Board. Through that experience, I witnessed, I worked as an orphanage, as I mentioned before, and this orphanage, I took care of children with disabilities. And I saw during this year that most of the children at the orphanage actually had at parents. They would come, they would visit their child, maybe on a weekend, they would stay for an hour, and then they would go home. And I thought to myself, why are these children living in an orphanage? Because typically in America, you think, oh, if a child's in an orphanage, they mean they don't have anyone to take care of them.
Right.
But I realized really shortly after arriving that this was not the case. And that most of the children at that orphanage were there because their families were ashamed of them. And they, because disabilities in Uganda is viewed as a curse,
right.
And they didn't know how to take care of their child, and they were left to struggle alone, and they gave up, and they said they would drop the kids at the doorstep of this orphanage, and they would run the other way, and it was a huge growing moment in my mind of, I want to empower families to know how. And give them the tools and equip them to know how to take care of their child with a disability. Because as I saw with my own sister growing up in a family, that we became her voice to defend her and fight for her and to help her realize her fullest potential. And I thought to myself, if these children don't have families, who's fighting for them? Who's helping them to become who God created them to be? Right. And I know it really boils down to families. And I felt so called to do something to help keep families together and children within that structure, family structure.
Wow. Well, tell us about Imprint Hope. So how did that transition happen? You had the idea. And then did you come back to the States and then go back to Uganda, or did you just stay?
Yeah, no, I came back. It was, again, I was wrestling in my head. No, I should just go back and resume life. Like, why am I being a crazy person and thinking I can change the world? But I went back and I got a job at one of the children's hospitals. And during that, I was back in New Jersey for around a year. And during that time, I set up a 501c3, a nonprofit organization in America, to fundraise for Imprint Hope. Because I knew if Imprint Hope was going to be in Uganda, we would need funding.
Right.
And nonprofit organizations are a great way to get people invested and involved in that process too. So I moved back to the States for a year, and then I moved back to Uganda over 2.5 years ago, and I haven't been home since. So it's been a a long journey, but it's been totally worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about Imprint Hope. Tell about the work that you do, the children, the women, the people that you work with. Tell us about Imprint Hope.
Yeah. Imprint Hope works in some of the most rural areas of Uganda. Our mission is to educate families and to provide resources so that these children with disabilities remain in a safe and loving environment. So what we do is, our team of social workers, occupational physical therapists, and human rights advocate, we go into these villages and we meet with community leaders and we talk to them about what is Imprint Hope and they direct us to where the children with disabilities are located. And most of the time they're in mud huts hidden away. Some families we visited, like when the child is taken out of the mud hut, like neighbors like will exclaim, "I thought that child was dead. I haven't seen them in over like a year," because the children have never been taken out of the mud hut. So we go into these villages, we seek out the most rural areas because we know that's where most of the children are, because people don't want to see them. And we talk to the family and the mother and father, if they're present, and the aunts and uncles, and we invite them to begin a journey of learning on how to take care of their child. And we do that through providing a 6-week intensive training to all of our families who have children with disabilities, and they come to our center, which is located amidst the villages, and they stay with us, the families, they stay with us for 6 weeks for intense training. These are classes on the brain, on bones, muscles, on various disabilities. These are classes on nutrition, hygiene, parenting, agriculture. And then the child also participates in a journey, and they receive daily physical and occupational therapy, any adaptive equipment they might need, any medical care, nutritional support, or medication management from our staff members. And then a new component to our program is also Imprint Hope Microfinance, where all of our mothers now participate in business classes. So when they leave, they're equipped to start a small-scale business in their home village to help pay for their child's medical expenses. So we provide them with a loan, a microfinance loan, upon graduating to start a business, whether that's selling tomatoes, making little cakes on the side, pancakes on the side of the road, or just something small to give them a livelihood, because most of our families have never gone to school, and most of them do not know how to read or write or anything. So business and farming is how they earn an income.
Wow. That's incredible. I didn't even realize, the span of all the things that you're doing, even, you know, empowering the mothers of these children and giving them opportunities. Cause I'm sure there are a lot of, and you probably saw that even with your own family, like there are so many different issues or facets to having a child with special needs. And I think a lot of times there is a financial burden that comes with that, or financial difficulty. And so to empower these parents, you know, and give them opportunities and teach them about finance, it helps provide for their families and change the trajectory of their lives.
Yes, absolutely. And we've seen it been very powerful, because many of them will say, "Oh, I want to provide for my child, but I don't have any money to do so." And we are not an organization that like just gives free handouts. We don't hand out money. We provide a service to your family. So that's what we want to make blatantly clear. We're going to give you the tools to help you, but we're not going to do it for you. And that's what we make really clear to them when they come and when we begin the relationship.
I think it's so often, even, and we even see that amongst our own friends anywhere in the world, you know, where people don't think that they have the tools or the things that they need to actually change their life. You know, they may feel stuck in a job or stuck in a certain situation, but I love opportunities like that where it's, you know, really giving people the tools or helping them see the path out of where they are, you know? And so I think it's so cool that you have that facet in the work that you're doing, because it truly shows the value of each and every person in a family. You know, it's not just zeroing in on these beautiful children, but it's also helping the parents see their own value and their own potential, and giving them opportunities to be the person that they were born to be.
And really empowering them. I love telling the moms, like, "You moms are like the bravest people I know, because you've been given this child to love and to care for, and no one can do it the way you can." And I love seeing them just burst into, like, seeing their joy and watching their self-esteem boosts through the 6 weeks, because most of them come and they're very shy and quiet. And then they come out of their shell, because we're living with them and we see them all the time. And it's just so beautiful to watch them blossom and to watch them realize what they're good at, and that they can take care of their child and know that they're not alone in this anymore and that we are here to help you. Mm. So it's a really incredible journey that we watch them unfold. And like this end, when they graduate in 6 weeks, it's not the end of the story. Like, we go and we visit with them, we follow up with them in their village once they return home. And we try to make at least once a month visits to all of our families living in the village to see how they're doing.
That's great. So you're really creating a community, which is another thing that I think a lot of individual people, you know, feel secluded often. And we've talked about on the show, even like the blessing and the curse of social media, how it can make you feel more connected, mm-hmm. but then it also makes you feel, you know, more segregated than ever. And I think that can also be, I'm sure that's a difficulty. I'm sure it's a difficulty for mothers in general, because, you know, mm-hmm. they're working on raising their kids and they don't have as much time to dedicate to their friends or community efforts and that kind of stuff. So I'm sure it can be very lonely at times for these families and each of the individual parents, and just to create that community and really to be a resource for them going forward. It's not just a one-time thing, but you just have built relationships with them, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of our moms, they keep in contact with each other. Aww. And they form relationships while they're here, and they know they have someone supporting them, and they form support groups in their village where they meet every Saturday and they talk, and like, they've really created a community for themselves, which is beautiful, of mothers and families who have children with disabilities. And we also go into the communities and we do community desensitization regarding disability, because as many mothers have told us, when a child with a disability is present in your family, no one wants to be friends with you anymore. Wow. Because they can't differentiate between what is contagious and what is not. And a lot of times they think these disabilities, whether it be cerebral palsy or hydrocephalus or even epilepsy, they believe it's contagious, and that even if you touch that child, or if you sit on the same mat with that child, or you drink out of the same cup as that child, you might get their disability. So the education bit is pivotal to helping these people understand the root causes of these disabilities, and that it's not contagious like tuberculosis. You know, there's a differentiation.
Yeah.
And that's why the classes play a really huge role in the community, so that they begin to understand this child needs love, affection, attention, and to be called by name just like any other child. So
yeah. What's the response like, Claire, when you go, and I'm sure it varies depending, but what's the typical response when you go into a village or a place and start talking about the work that you do? Are people freaked out by it? Are they scared? Are they intrigued? Like, what's kind of your typical response that you see?
Yeah, most of them, it's the first time they've ever seen a white person. So I'm a very scared person to them. which I try to like lessen that. I don't try to be like intense or intimidating to them. I just try to be like a person, a normal person like them. And I'm really trying to learn their language. I've been taking their local language lessons for the past 2 years and trying to be able to communicate to them, because they speak a unique dialect here. Mm. They're very curious.
Okay.
Many times when they see a community of people, like a team, whether it be Ugandans and a white person, come in and try and devote attention to a child they deem as irrelevant, it gets them thinking, why are these people coming just to see that one?
Mm.
Like, why are they devoting their time? And especially when you get on the ground and you pick up that child, and you hold them, like many community members and neighbors have, they watch, like a crowd just gathers around and they observe you and they watch your every move to see what you do. And many moms have told me that, like, when you come and you pick up my child, like, your presence shows other people and myself that this child has a purpose, because not many people want to pick up my child to hold them because they don't want to give that child attention. They think he's cursed. So it's really powerful going into the villages and seeing the communities and their reactions, and just really teach them through your mannerisms and your behavior and your actions that this child is worthy of love.
Mm.
So
is there a story or a story about a child that you've helped, or maybe a mom or a family that kind of sticks out to you, that maybe is the story that you feel like embodies the entire mission of Imprint Hope, or just a story that kind of sticks with you? I know we all kind of have moments like that in our life where there's a story that we kind of reflect on, maybe when times get hard. Mm-hmm. Is there a story like that that you want to share?
Yeah, there's...
I'm sure there's so many. You can share a couple. You can share whatever.
Yeah, it's so hard. But one of the children, Mohammed, he's a little 5-year-old boy with cerebral palsy and epilepsy, and he's also... he was severely malnourished. So he came onto our program over 2 years ago, and I'll never forget the moment of walking into this family's compound, and this child was just laying under a tree, just like no clothes on, just wrapped, and he was laying on a blanket. And we told them who we are and what we want to do, and we began to tell them that we want to work with your child with a disability and help them to get strong. And the mother brought the baby. Well, he's not a baby, but he looked like a baby, but he was 5, but he was so malnourished. He was probably around 15 pounds. And she brought him, like, with tears in her eyes. And she said, like, I was just waiting for my son to die before you came. Because she was like, this baby won't eat. He won't swallow food. He can't move, and you could just tell by the look in her face and the frustration in her voice that she was confused. She had no idea what to do. There was no resources for her to help her explain her child's condition. And I just remember, like, embracing Mohammed and just telling her that there is hope and that we can do something to help him, and we are going to get him strong. And 2 years later, like, Mohammed is still a part of our program. He's been through intense malnutrition care and feeding therapy and physical therapy and occupational therapy. And I mean, this boy is sitting, this boy is standing, this boy is kneeling. He's talking and he's smiling and he's engaging with his family. And his mom knows how to fight for him. And it's been a very long journey, working through the family issues and the problems that go on that prevent her from fully taking care of Mohammed. But I always think back upon Mohammed because I know where he was and I see where he is now. And it's a miracle in my eyes to see how the families are so invested in him now, and they deeply care about him. So it's a beautiful story of redemption, and it's still continuing on, and there's still so much left to do within that family and for Mohammed. But I love just being a part of it that whole 2 years. So
yeah, well, it's like things like we take so many things for granted. Like, I even think about so many families, like we have Google for everything. So it's like, even if a parent has a sick child or a child with a disability, there's so many more resources here, like online. People can use their smartphone to find things. There's so many communities, right, like on Facebook and whatever, these support groups. And I just feel like I'm sure it's just a totally different culture over there. They don't have that. And it's not as, I mean, it's taken years for even America to get to the point that it is where there are these communities. But yeah, I think it's just really, it's really beautiful that you guys are kind of all things to these people. You know, you're their resource for all things, and their support group and their community.
Yeah. I mean, we try. We make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But we're trying. We're trying in the same process. And we learn so much from each and every family. And every family comes to us with so many wounds and so much brokenness. And we just try to slowly by slowly unravel the challenges and really get to the heart, and above all, teach them that their child's life is worthy of love, and that God did not make a mistake in creating this child. And we are here to help you along this journey of taking care of them.
Yeah. And it is a journey. Like my grandfather used to say, we're all a work in progress. And I love that, Claire, because it's just like we all are a work in progress. Like everybody's mission in their life, like we're all, you know, we fall, we continue on, we make mistakes, we learn from them and, you know, continue on. But even all the families and children and, you know, people that you're working with in various capacities, it's all, we're all the same in that, you know, we're all a work in progress and just, you know, getting through life. So,
yeah, no, absolutely.
Claire, what's the most, couple of questions for you specifically. What is the most rewarding thing about the work you do, and what's the most difficult thing?
Oh, those are great questions. Two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the positive, but the most rewarding thing I see as being able just to be present to these families amidst some of their greatest challenging moments. I've learned so much by being in Uganda about the power of presence. And that sometimes when a family comes to you with so many problems and so many challenges, we as an organization can't cure them all. We can't fix them all. We can't solve them all. But we can be present to you during these challenging moments, and we can be a hand, a hug, just being with you when you need to do something that's really hard. And I've loved just watching moms see that and realize that throughout the journey at Imprint Hope Center during the 6 weeks, and also in the village, knowing that we are going to come visit and you're not alone in this anymore. And so many moms have come, and like during the 6 weeks here, they say, I've never seen my child smile or I've never seen my child laugh or do anything. And multiple times in our therapy room, like a mother sees their child smile for the first time in their life. And this is a 7-8-year-old child that's never smiled before. And it's just simple moments like that that can bring you to tears, literally watching the mom develop a relationship with her child for the first time. And it's all about relationships, and it's all about watching that and just observing from the outside in, and just seeing how families are being transformed. And we're just here to facilitate that. We're not the doers. We're just the facilitators in that. And I think that is just the most encouraging aspect of the work here in Uganda, is seeing how pivotal and how it's such a spearheading moment of change in the family's life. So, and then the most challenging thing, elements of the work, is seeing how children with disabilities are denied basic human rights in the villages. Yes, there's so many success stories, but there's also so many stories of when the child is being locked away for years and years at a time and is being deprived of food because they just want that child to die. And it breaks your heart when you see how a child has so much potential, but they have never been given that opportunity. And this is no fault of the parents. It's a culture that they are amongst, and they're trying to fight it, but they need help. And, they need someone to help them because it's existed for hundreds and hundreds of years. And seeing children go through witchcraft ceremonies and being burned because they think, oh, that will get the disability out of them. So watching those things go on and seeing the results of that is very difficult for me to deal with. And I never, I always take these things home, you know, with you. Like, it's always on your mind. You're always thinking about a child, a family. How are they doing? Because there's just so many needs, and I'm always thinking about them and how to help. So
yeah, what is your? Those are two really. Yeah,
it's extreme. Total.
No, but it's two total opposite sides of the spectrum. But I think that you need all of the good things to get through the difficult things, you know. And you see something bad happen, but I feel like it's always balanced out by good things. We just have to look for them, you know. But
absolutely.
Claire, what is your work with Imprint Hope taught you about yourself? I love this question because it is, again, it's a very personal one, but we don't often take a moment to look at our lives or look at things that we've been a part of or things that have happened in our lives and see what it's taught us about ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And it's very thought provoking. But I would say that Imprint Hope's work here in Uganda has truly taught me how powerless I am and how weak I am. I can't tell you how many times I'm living over here, but so many times I feel like I'm doing nothing and that I need a higher being helping me. And of course that is God for me. Helping me, giving me grace, giving me strength to persevere through so many moments of real just feeling like you're being rejected and you're alone. And I've had to overcome so many moments of just abundant fear being over here in Uganda and embracing the challenges these families encounter. And going back to what we had talked about a little bit about fear in the beginning of the phone call is that I just believe sometimes this fear has, for me personally, has become a stepping stone for me to actualize who I'm created to be for the world and for these families, and to help me grow in courage and perseverance and determination and not to give up. Because if I had a dime for every time I felt scared and fearful over here, like I could have fundraised for 100 trips back to America by now.
Yeah,
because it's been abundant, but I haven't let it stop me from doing the work. And so many times I just, you just want the comforts of home, and you just want just to see your mom or to see your family. And but I cling to the fact that. God has sent me here for a purpose, and I'm meant to fulfill that purpose. And every moment in life has seasons, and this is a season for me now. And I'm learning abundant things about who I am and how I need to rely upon God to help me get through these greatest moments and beautiful moments at the same time.
And you haven't been home since you started Imprint Hope, right?
Yeah, over 2.5 years ago. So it's been compounded by the fact that I have adopted.
Yeah. Oh, tell us about your son.
Yeah, he's a really special boy. His name is Asan. He was one of the little kids I met at the orphanage when I first came to Uganda in 2013. So he and I have gone through. We had a huge bonding moment when a month after I arrived in Uganda, he fell down 6 feet and shattered open his skull and experienced a traumatic brain injury. So he nearly died in front of my very eyes when I saw him fall and just the blood just gushing from his forehead. And he has a beautiful scar in his forehead, but it's I love his scar because it's a testimony to how much we've been, how God has carried him through that. And I remember sitting on a hospital floor, a filthy hospital floor, for 3 weeks with patients laying on the floor around me and just holding Asan in my arms and begging God to spare his life. And it was 2 weeks ago, I received the final adoption order from the High Court of Uganda stating that he is legally mine. So it's been such a incredibly long journey, but he's such a little blessing. He's not little. He's actually 10 years old right now. I met him when he was 5. So,
wow.
It's been such a beautiful journey, learning how to be a mom, amidst the many facets of Imprint Hope as well. So,
wow, that's awesome. Congratulations. I know that was a long journey to adopt him. So, and I know you're not in the clear either. There's a lot more to be done. And even for you to be able to come back to the States with him, I know there are steps you have to take, but congratulations. It's huge.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such a blessing. I feel so, so honored to be his mom.
He's such a little gift. Yeah, I think I've seen some pictures on social media and stuff of you guys. But Claire, what inspires you? I know you talked a lot about, you know, the difficult moments in the work that you do, and as well as like the beautiful things. But what inspires you or helps you continue your work? And maybe your son is a piece of that now.
Multiple things keep me going, the families and seeing their joy, but above all, Imprint Hope was founded on the premise of the fact that we all have a different fingerprint, and that the term imprint of Imprint Hope is based on the idea that we all have a different mark to leave on the world. And I'm fascinated by the fact that the millions and billions and trillions of people in the world, we all have a different fingerprint. When you go get your passport, or you go through FBI screens, like everyone has a unique one. And Imprint Hope was based on the idea that we all have a unique mark to leave on the world, and children with disabilities are no exception to that premise, and that they have a unique fingerprint as well. And that idea keeps me motivated to know that each child that comes through our center or we meet out in the village has a unique mark to leave on the world. And through Imprint Hope, we greatly desire to help that mark be made known for the world to see, because everyone has unique gifts and talents that can be perfected over time. And I would love to draw out those unique talents in children with disabilities and help the world to see that.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, you know, the impact that you hope to have on the world. And I'm sure sometimes you feel like such a small fish in a big pond, you know, being in Uganda and being so far away from everything. But I personally can say, and I know I shared this with you before, is just watching all of your videos on Instagram and different things that you're doing, it inspires me to look at what I'm doing on a daily basis in a different way, and to think about how can we, as individual people, no matter where we are, how can we show love to other individual people? Maybe it's a child with disabilities, or maybe it's just somebody that's like annoying us in the world, you know, road rage or whatever, you know, that we can take a moment and look for the beauty and value in every life, every person's life. But then also look for these moments to imprint hope. You know, hope is just such a powerful force. And I think it's so beautiful that that's the name of your organization, because, you know, we all do have so much power to change the world in any little or big way.
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing the goodness in everyone, because amidst so much confusion and chaos and sometimes anger, we dwell on the negative. And I just choose every single day to see the good in someone, because everyone has goodness in them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it takes time to think about it, but I know that there's goodness in every human being in the world.
Yeah. Claire, what do you hope that the future holds for Imprint Hope? Maybe a year down the line, or 5 years down the line, or what do you hope that Imprint Hope has in its future?
We have started in Uganda, and there's such abundant need in Uganda, but I hope through Imprint Hope.
I know, it's a funny thing to say.
Yeah, just the very coin of the idea that it takes a village, and that's a hashtag that we use a lot in Imprint Hope, because we all have unique gifts, you know, to mm-hmm. impart to these children, and not one person can do it all. And I just hope that people, and for me, myself personally, through coming to Uganda, I saw the disparity and how Americans and Ugandans, we live so differently. And I just hope to, through Imprint Hope, to bridge that gap mm. of helping people to see how they can do, everyone has a part to play in this. And first world and third world countries were created for such a specific purpose. It's hard for the third world countries sometimes to receive the aid, and it's sometimes hard for first world countries to give it.
Right.
So there's such a balancing act that needs to happen between these countries, because we're all in need of so much healing and learning from each other. Because mm-hmm. I learn every day from Ugandans. I don't care if they're uneducated, not the highest class people. I learn from them because they teach me about real virtue, and they teach me about being present, and some things that I've never realized before living in America. So yeah, through Imprint Hope, I just would love to bridge that gap and to help people to see how other people live and to think about if they, where is their village? Where are they called to be, and to help other people? Because we all have so much to do to impart this hope to others.
Yeah. Well, and even what you said about it takes a village, I was talking to my sister over the weekend about One Girl Revolution. And as much as it's about talking about how women, each of us individually, have the power to change the world, it does take a village. You know, there's not one person that is totally changing the world. Everybody has a team or people that inspire them. You know, it's like all we need to build community in every single aspect, and nobody can do anything alone by themselves, like behind any talented or successful person or just person, you know, there are good people behind them that are supporting them. And so that's kind of the whole mission of One Girl. But the more I think about it, the more I think about how it does take a village for all of us, you know, to live the fullness that we were created to be. It takes a support system and good people doing good things to inspire us.
Right. And we all learn from each other.
Right.
Like, I'm sure you, through One Girl Revolution, you've learned so much from your participators on your podcast.
Yeah.
And they've learned from you as well, with like your courage to start this this organization. So I mean, it's such a balancing between the two groups of people. So
yeah,
I think it's so important.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great to be learning from different people. And yeah, I've just learned so much from different people that have been on the podcast, and even just reading about different stories, you know. Well, even your story, I mean, I pretty much came across it, like I said, in the beginning, because I was following Thomas Rhett and his wife on social media, and then you know, our friends were telling me about them coming to visit you, and then I was like, oh, Uganda, I know Uganda. So yeah.
Yeah,
so anyways, it's just funny how those things are all connected. But Claire, how can people support you in your work and bring awareness to Imprint Hope?
Yeah, that's as we had said, it takes a village. So I love help. I love any type of support, whether that be coming over here and serving with us for a couple of weeks, or sending packages for the children, or donating online, or supporting our program, or sharing and liking us on Facebook and Instagram. I really ask all volunteers who come, like, what are your gifts? Mm. To bring to these children and to these families, because I can't tell you when you come, like, to do something specific, or even when you, if you want to help from America, like, what do you think you can offer? I of course tell them the need that we have in terms of fundraising and campaigning and doing all these projects, but I love for people's gifts and talents to be perfected through the mission as well. So if anyone has a unique desire to help, I would love to talk to you or to communicate with you on any of the social media platforms or through email. You're free to contact me, and I would love to begin the conversation.
That's awesome. And we'll post I'll talk to you too, Claire, offline before we post the podcast online, and we can kind of lay out some of these things, how people can get in touch with you. And I'll make sure that your website and all your social media platforms are on there as well. One thing that I mentioned earlier is that I'm wearing these bracelets from that the mothers make with Imprint Hope. Can you tell us quickly about those? And if people are interested, I don't know if you have a store that people can buy stuff or if you're going to be putting one up soon.
Yes. I guess I failed to mention it is that another class that our moms take is almost like an arts and crafts tailoring class in the afternoon every day from 4:30 to 6:30. Mm. So we have a teacher who comes and teaches them how to sew. We have 8 sewing machines in our garage of our Whoa. Center, and they learn how to make skirts and shirts and bags and different headbands. And they also learn how to make different beading. With we've designed 2 Imprint Hope bracelets and various t-shirts and headbands, and we're trying to launch this new leather bag that we're making as cool. well. So we are preparing to launch an online store on our website in the next couple weeks. Cool. So they also could purchase them on there, but we also did a kind of a flash sale on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and we still have a couple of the products left. People can go on there and see some of the things that we do sell, because we, when volunteers come, we send them back with some of the volunteers, and then they ship them out to the person ordering the product. So that's awesome. That's how we're doing it for now until we have the online store on Imprint Hope's website.
That's great. Well, I'll post the Instagram link for now. And then once the store is launched, I'll make sure to put it up on our Facebook page so people can find it and they can support your great work. But Claire, thank you so much for coming on One Girl Revolution podcast today. And thank you for all the great work that you do.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate. It's been such a gift to share. And I really feel so honored that you would want to talk about Imprint Hope's work here in Uganda.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
And I want to continue it. So we'll continue to cover different things that you have going on at Imprint Hope. So just make sure that you keep me in the loop, and I'll make sure to continue supporting your work. I'm really excited to share your work and the work of Imprint Hope with everybody who's listening. But yeah, thanks again for joining. And thank you to everybody for listening to today's show. We'll post all the links to Imprint Hope and some of the things that Claire and I talked about. So check out our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/onegirlrev, R-E-V. Send us your comments, your thoughts, show ideas, guest ideas, anything. We want to hear from you. So again, check us out on Facebook, One Girl Rev, or find me on Twitter at Kate M. Bryan. Thanks so much for listening to the One Girl Revolution podcast. We'll be right back here next week. Thanks so much.